the most important meal of the day, second breakfast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another Second Breakfast podcast. I'm Andy Roth alongside Phil Duvall. Say hi, Phil.
Hi, Andy. I'd like to start this thing with a joke that is just for our viewers and not for our listeners, which is totally unfair since I think this should be an all audio show anyway.
Nice.
But I would love that if I was either a card sharp or a magician, if there was like a glamour shot of me taken where I was holding something like a dice like this and just going.
Great.
I would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be great. I'll have some mock-ups sent to your office tomorrow.
Thank you. All right.
It is.
It's Wednesday, Andy.
It's Wednesday, which means it's time for another installment of Project Melway, brought to you by
the Gibsonian Institute.
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Gibsonian Institute has tasked us with the pleasure, the joy, the honor, the labyrinthine task of watching every single movie Mel Gibson has ever done. There's a couple little things that he was like. He was in Father's Day for apparently a second. And he was uncredited, so we're not seeing things like that. But if he's in it, we're seeing it.
Indeed.
And if he directed it, we're seeing it.
Indeed.
There's so much more to see.
There's so much more.
I'm having a good time, though. Yeah. I hated the movie we saw today.
Hated. So angry.
Let's talk. So angry. Today we saw a little film, or we're talking about a little film called L Dubs 4, also known as Lethal Weapon 4. Ugh. The magic has been kicked in the crotch and thrown in a river, never to be seen again. I make this joke, you see, because Lethal Weapon 2 had a tagline that said the magic is back.
Yes.
And it totally was.
It totally was.
And then they made Lethal Weapon 3, and Andy said the magic is back.
Mm-hmm.
Which it... It was about as back as the sentence was, the magic is back. It made about as much sense as the sentence. But there was moments that I loved.
Yes.
Some of the highest highs and lowest lows until Lethal Weapon 4, the wheels come off and burn.
Oh,
it is
gosh.
Just a disaster.
Horrifying. Horrifying movie on every level. Conceptual, execution, directing, acting, moral. Like this is
I'm glad you said that. I'm interested to see what you mean by that.
This is a horrifying excuse for a movie.
It's just, and knowing that it comes in the Lethal Weapon oeuvre hurts all the more.
It's true.
It's a black mark on my box set.
It's true. I gotta be honest. Alien Resurrection might not be the worst fourth movie in a series that I've ever
wow.
seen.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, it's not worse than this.
Right.
I've never seen Alien Resurrection, but I'm still telling you.
Yes.
It's not worse than this.
Do you want to
start
the plot synopsis? Just to...
There's no plot. Look.
This time they're fighting.
This time it's China they're fighting.
Yes.
Specifically Jet Li.
Mm-hmm.
They're fighting sort of like this Chinese mafia in L.A. that is smuggling people
yes.
to work as slaves, and they're printing money to buy some other Chinese mafia guys back from some other Chinese people. It's really vague. Yes.
So,
and then
yeah.
Riggs and Murtaugh are in the middle of it, and then also so is Chris Rock.
Yeah,
doing stand up in the middle of the movie, and and Joe Pesci,
who was bored and wandered on set one day,
and they were like, "Here, instead of saying this, you're going to add this catchphrase."
Yes.
So Leo Getz is one of the great characters of action movies. I love Leo Getz. Mm-hmm. Whenever you want Leo Getz, you get it.
Huh?
You get it. Huh?
Okay. Huh? Okay.
Okay. That's hilarious. So now he's added, okay, whatever, to his like.
Yes.
It's almost like they tried to add a new character. I mean, it's like they literally were like, what do? We got to give Leo a new catchphrase, which they didn't need to do.
No, they did not.
Okay. I liked the last scene.
Yes. Yes, the last where they take the picture.
Yes. No. Yes. Well, no. Just the whole giving birth scene.
Okay. I had some problems with that scene, but we'll talk about it.
Good. Why don't you guide us? Because your hatred is so much more like blinding than mine.
My hatred has made me powerful. Flames on the side of my face. Breathing. I hated him so much. Okay. That's from Clue. For all those who don't, for the like three of you out there watching this who don't know that.
Don't watch this anymore. And to go away and watch Clue and then come back.
Indeed. I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife. Okay.
Favorite line in any movie ever.
It's so good. The movie reminded me of a couple lines. The first one, both from just superlatively written films or works of art. One, Macbeth, and the other, Iron Man 3. I'll start with Iron Man 3.
Please.
When Guy Pearce's character says, ever since the guy with the hammer fell out of the sky, subtlety kind of went out the window.
Right.
There are more explosions in the first 10 minutes of this movie than I think in Lethal Weapon 1 and Lethal Weapon 2 combined.
Wow.
It's absurd. Things that have no business exploding explode just to have something to explode. It's infuriating. And overall, and I know this is not what the quote from Macbeth is talking about, but the quote that reminded me from Macbeth is, it is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Richard Donner, shame on you.
What have you done?
What have you done? I'm glad that you pointed out that Chris Rock, who is, he's doing stand-up in the middle of the movie, and it's not that it's not funny, because Chris Rock is a funny stand-up comic.
Yeah, it's actually like every one of the jokes he makes is funny. It just has nothing in the past. What Lethal Weapon has been able to do has been able to integrate the humor into the personalities and into the plot of the movie.
Yes.
That is not the case here at all.
It is like shut down.
Chris Rock's character is literally like, let's add a new character.
Yes.
And I think they might have been thinking, if this works out really well, maybe we pair him up with Riggs for a couple of goes after Murtaugh retires. I mean, I don't know that. I just thought that just now for the first time. But
I don't know that either, but it makes sense. I mean, it certainly played that way.
Do you know what's really funny? You know why I saw this movie the first time, right? Ever?
Why?
Because you told me to.
Phil, I'm sorry.
We were in college, and Andy and I were checking in with each other. We're getting back for sophomore year. This movie came out between freshman and sophomore year in summer. And Andy goes, have you seen Lethal Weapon 4? And I was like, no. And Lethal Weapon 3 wasn't that good. And Andy goes, I don't know, man. I got to tell you something. This movie has the single scariest bad guy I have ever seen in a movie.
Fair. Okay. Thank God.
He goes, this has the single scariest bad guy I have ever seen in a movie. You have to see it just for him. And I was like, I mean, what's so bad about him? And he's just like, he's just terrifying. And it was Jet Li, and it was the first time America, basically, most Americans, not everybody, of course, but most Americans had seen Jet Li.
Yes.
And so Andy was just introduced to the clinical martial efficiency.
Yes, indeed.
With which Jet Li operates. See, the thing about Jet Li, if you don't know much about Kung Fu, which I really don't, let's be honest.
Nor I.
A guy like Jackie Chan, and Jackie Chan is like a ballerino,
or
like
a
ballet dancer. He's like a dancer. He's like a guy that he's just something that he's telling a story in the way that he fights.
Yes.
And you can watch a Jackie Chan movie and be entertained by the way that he fights.
Yes, I agree.
And be like that's, and he's a showman.
Yes.
And Jet Li, and he can play drunk. He can play bumbling. He can play all sorts of things.
He is. Although I agree with you that he is like a ballet dancer. He is also energy all the time, you know, projected outward.
Jet Li just feels dangerous.
Yes, yes.
And his character is just, I guess he's scary. I don't know if he's the scariest ever, but you were very Rothian about the whole thing.
Well, I
and I saw Lethal Weapon 4 because of you. Now,
no, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I've seen Lethal Weapon twice in the past 6 months now. This is the third time I've ever seen Lethal Weapon. I'm never going to see Lethal Weapon again.
Really?
Four. Oh. Sorry. Lethal Weapon 4. I apologize. Like,
why not?
I'm never going to see Lethal Weapon 4 again.
No, not ever.
I think I'm done.
Interesting thing about Jet Li, apparently, this was his breakthrough movie in America.
Yeah.
But he had a very well-established career in Hong Kong cinema, and he was, I think, known for almost exclusively playing heroes.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, but you know, hey, and we'll get to the horrifying stereotypes that this movie engages in at some point. But hey, he's the other, so let's make him the villain. I want to talk about something that Phil, you pointed out way back with Lethal Weapon 1, and it was something that, you know, you notice because you can't not notice it, but it doesn't sort of come to the forefront of your mind, is that Lethal Weapon is, as a series, is a socially conscious action series. Lethal Weapon 1, it sort of shines a light on the plight of returned Vietnam veterans.
Yeah. Although I don't think it means to do that explicitly. I think Richard Donner sort of highlights it.
Yes, but we'll get there. I think it's beautiful that it does it sort of subtly.
Yeah.
In a subtle way. The second one is basically all about apartheid, but although it's not subtle, it does feel organic.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
One of the things that works as far as it does in Lethal Weapon 3 is they do a pretty good job of highlighting some of the things that are bad about gun violence.
Yes. Yes.
And then we come to That's Lethal right. Weapon 4. And before we talk about it, I wanna go back to the original trilogy of zombie movies made by George Romero. And because they also were based around a central metaphor.
Metaphor.
Yes. Night of the Living Dead, at its core, is a story about racism, about white flight. You can also make the argument that it's about the domino theory of communism, why we went into the Vietnam War. A potent metaphor, right? Themes that resonate even today.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn of the Dead is about consumerism. Clearly a theme that resonates today. Day of the Dead is about the alienation that the scientific community felt from the military-industrial complex during Reagan's presidency.
Right.
Slightly tougher metaphor to make general.
Right.
A little bit.
Right.
Kind of falls apart, and frankly, that's why the movie kind of falls apart.
Because it's trying too hard to put a fine point on like one person or a critique of a specific thing rather than a larger metaphor.
Yes. And frankly, it's just not a great metaphor. Like, it's like, great, right. Okay. I agree with you.
It got to the point where George Romero's like, I only speak in zombies.
Right.
So, yes, and I'm angry about Reagan, so let's make a movie.
Indeed. Lethal Weapon 4, the social issue it tackles is smuggling undocumented workers, counterfeiting.
There's this whole, it's really about the smuggling, I think, is the thing. But it's really interesting. They have this whole thing where, like, you know, where Murtaugh, I just love Roger Murtaugh. I love the character. I think Danny Glover's embodiment of that role in the first three movies, and fine in the fourth one. I mean, he still plays him. It's fine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the lines he has in the fourth one where he's like, this is my chance. Like, I'm freeing slaves. Like, no one ever did for my people. And it's like, well, someone did at some point, but okay, that's beside the point. Like, clearly someone did actually free someone in your family because here you are.
Right.
But that's not the point. I do understand his point of like,
right,
I get to participate in slave freeing, and the idea for why a black man would find that amazing. I get it. But it's like, did you have to say it like that? Like,
right. It made me
like, of course, it's important to you. Like,
yes,
of course it is.
Let's see. I have so many notes. And it's going to be scattershot.
It's all right. Just throw your notes at us, man. Don't even blink.
What? When I wrote this note, I didn't even put a question mark at the end of this sentence. What is Joe Pesci doing in this movie? What? Okay? There is an answer to that.
Okay.
There is an answer to that. And the answer is the scene at the end in the graveyard, the cemetery. We'll get there. We'll get there. But for 95% of the movie, it literally is like, oh.
He has no function. And what he did in that scene could have been given to anybody else.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Let's see. Ah, hello, uncomfortably homophobic humor. I've missed you. This is true right from the beginning. There's uncomfortably homophobic humor all over the place in this movie, which, to be fair, is sort of rampant throughout the four Lethal Weapon.
Well, Where are you seeing it in this movie specifically?
It becomes a major plot point, Phil, with what they do with Chris Rock's character.
I don't think of that as uncomfortable homophobic humor at all, actually.
I respect that opinion.
At all.
I respect that opinion. I disagree with you.
How? I mean, first of all, they're taking Murtaugh. The idea basically is, okay, so Chris Rock's character, I'm going to spoil everything's movie because I don't care because it's terrible. Chris Rock's character has secretly impregnated Murtaugh's oldest daughter and married her.
Right. Right.
But they don't live together, and only certain people in the family know because they're afraid of what Murtaugh will do. Hiding it is going to make it better.
And P.S., not for nothing, and then I will let you get back to your point. Not for nothing, that's totally how a family that would bring a birthday cake into a father's bath and sing him happy birthday, that's clearly how they'd communicate. They would hide things from each other. Yep. Clearly.
Yep.
Watch the other movies before you write this script, you jerks.
So Chris Rock has this interest in impressing Murtaugh, and it's really, he's like, wants to, you know, he's trying to, he wants him to like him because he knows eventually that he's going to find out that he's his son-in-law and he wants it to work out. Riggs, Mel Gibson, MG, what up, finds out about all this. And so when Murtaugh's like, why do you think that guy's paying so much attention to me? And Riggs is like, maybe he likes you.
Right.
Murtaugh's like, what?
Okay.
What I love about this for me is that what I think is funny is that I remember watching it thinking exactly the opposite of what you thought. I was like, this is funny to see Mel Gibson basically just being totally cool with it. I mean, he's playing the joke on Murtaugh, but the joke is about, which is a joke they've played through four episodes, about Murtaugh being not with the times. So he's uncomfortable with the idea of it. And I think Riggs is just like, hilarious.
Okay.
That's my attitude when I watch the movie personally.
You asked, that's fair. That I can see the point. It made me uncomfortable even so because it was surrounded by homophobic humor. I didn't note what it was, but there was something right in the first scene when Murtaugh's stripping down for literally no reason. There's something that one of them says, I think, that I noted it. So I'll leave the homophobic humor for a second and get into the racist humor. When they talk to Uncle Benny and they're making fun of his accent.
Oh boy.
And then, I don't remember what scene it was in, but then when they see Jet Li's character, they say, enter the drag queen. So they deftly combine racist humor and homophobic humor in a joke that isn't even funny.
It isn't a funny joke, you're right.
It offends me. It offends me as someone who likes to think that he's not racist, likes to think that he's not homophobic, and likes to think that he's funny. All three.
It reminds that Seinfeld thing. Does this offend you because you're Jewish? No, it offends me because I'm a comedian.
Yes, absolutely.
You know?
Ugh. The racist humor targeted at the Asians in this movie, when the movie is about the illegal trafficking and indentured servitude of Asians, was extraordinarily
uncomfortable. There's a whole plot point where they save this whole family of Asians.
Yes. You are, correct me if I'm wrong, a religious man.
You're correct. Continue.
Okay. Perhaps you can enlighten me why Jet Li's character is constantly working. Are those rosary beads?
Well, they would in the Buddhist faith they will use prayer beads as well. Other faiths have prayer beads.
Okay,
so fair it's enough. Not a Catholic rosary, but it is prayer beads.
I mean, obviously, there's no cross or crucifix.
Right, right. It's just prayer beads. But the Dalai Lama has prayer beads. He carries them around. So.
It was John Woo putting doves in a gunfight in Mission Impossible 2 just for the ridiculous juxtaposition, right?
Right.
Like, am I wrong that it was really weird to see him constantly working those prayer beads?
Well, it was to try. I think it was just to give him something to have to make him spooky, and for him to use it as a murder weapon.
I mean, that's fair. That's an excellent point.
So
that's,
it's the irony of using prayer beads to kill people.
Yes.
You know, because he's got a little string on it.
I don't understand what they're going for with that metaphor.
There's no...
Couple of motifs that I saw that I enjoyed. Riggs' embarrassment of Murtaugh, the newspaper clipping that he puts up.
Oh, great. Love it. Yes. Love it.
Just like with the roundhouse kick that he makes him take out the water cooler from a previous movie. The destruction of both Murtaugh's house and his boat. That echoes things that we've seen in previous movies. That's what I have good to say about the movie for now. Moving on, I am mystified.
The movie metaphor. Wait, the house metaphor.
Yes, please.
This is important to me because every single movie we've seen so far, something has happened to Murtaugh's house.
Yes.
In the first one, they drive a car through it. In the second one, they are first hijacked in their house, or remember, they're taped up in their house and made to be scared. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the toilet blows up in the greatest sequence in all of Lethal Weapon history.
Sure.
It is, right? Like, it's the central moment of the Lethal Weapon.
I can't dispute that.
And then in Lethal Weapon 3, they're building a new piece onto the house.
Right.
And they actually, people attack them there, of course.
Nailed
right.
them both.
And then in 4, the house actually gets burned down to the ground.
Yes, it's true.
Which would be an okay metaphor, except that it doesn't seem to matter at all that the house was burned down.
Right. It's more of a metaphor for what they've done to the film franchise. Ba-dum-bum.
That's right. Like, you just, that's the reality is that should have been the most... That should have been the climax of the movie. If you're going to do a climax of Lethal Weapon 4, if you're going to burn the house down.
Yes.
Ugh,
yes, have just, that mean something. And the only thing, it's like.
The house that has been
okay,
central.
That's it.
The whole plot for Lethal Weapon 3 is that they're going to sell the house.
Yes.
And then they don't.
Yes. Yes.
So
I'm
There's
mystified.
There's a whole subplot with Roger Murtaugh maybe being investigated by IA for having money. That
so
plot
dumb.
Is means nothing.
Means
it
nothing.
Means nothing. Means it, there's
zero.
No point to it.
Means zero. Nothing. The end game of the villains, I would love for you to explain to me what the end game of the villain is. Jet Li.
He's trying to get those 4 mafia men
yes,
back.
He's trying to get his brothers released.
Right?
And then what happens? What
At
happens
least one
after
of them
that?
Gets killed.
No. No, I don't mean what happens in the movie. I mean, what is his goal?
Get them released.
And then what?
Then they'll be free?
To go where?
LA. They can live underground. Like, what's the problem?
Really? Is that what you're going with? I mean...
I mean, why not?
They're going to rule the country like supervillains from like a bunker somewhere?
No, but I mean, they can like live in some house in Little China and be free in Chinatown and like... You know, whatever. Just be old and not in jail. I mean, just to be old and not in jail, I think works out.
Because if mafia movies have taught us anything, it's that those kind of people retire gracefully.
Doesn't mean they're not going to try.
Fair.
I don't know how the Chinese mafia works, dude. I honestly, I plead occidental ignorance because I have no clue what happens in that like no clue.
All I'm saying is I didn't buy it.
Fair enough.
I didn't buy it.
I mean, I didn't buy anything about this movie.
Yes.
I'm really glad the oldest daughter grew her hair back out because I hated how short it was in the third one.
Indeed.
And I find her very attractive.
She's lovely.
She's trouble is what she is. Let's discuss this. She gets caught in the first one for smoking pot. In the second one, she's in a commercial for condoms and doesn't understand why this would freak her father out. In the third one, she's a terrible actor with a bad haircut. And by the fourth one, she's knocked up and married secretly.
Secretly knocked up and married.
And throughout all of them, insists on kissing Riggs on the lips. Which I am completely comfortable with, actually. Because I think she's beautiful. Just, I think she is absolutely beautiful. I'm also bothered, and The Cosby Show shows this too. I don't know a ton of black people personally. But I know like at least a dozen. I mean, okay.
Sure.
I have never seen I've never seen pictures of black families where they are all just random shades. This is true on The Cosby Show. It's true on The Cosby Show. But there's really just one daughter who's just totally – well, two daughters. The two oldest daughters are like very light shaded and then the rest are all basically the same color. I find this strange. I find this slightly strange.
Okay.
I don't know if there's – but I don't know if there's a precedent for it. We need to get some black experts on the show Because the Cosby Show does it in Lethal Weapon 4. Well, Lethal Weapon in general. The oldest daughter, all of them are the same color, except for the oldest daughter, who's basically looks your color.
Agreed.
Very confusing.
Agreed. Agreed.
Very confusing.
Agreed.
Also, they don't do anything with the family in this episode. Like the two, like the younger sister and the brother. Like I love the chemistry between the brother and the dad, the son and the dad in Lethal Weapon 3, right? Lethal Weapon 3, the whole subplot with them. Him being out of touch with his son, him trying to be cool, but in the end, him just loving his son and his son getting it on some level. It's just they introduce all these new characters, but the old characters are great.
Yes.
You've spent three seasons or three episodes, three movies building up these relationships, and then in the fourth one, it's just like, here's your cameo.
Completely different.
Here's your cameo.
Yes.
Do you know what Mel Gibson's character and Rene Russo's character would do? Not add on to their trailer. She would make him move into a house for reals. Also, I'd like to move back to the point where you don't live on the beach in a trailer anywhere in Los Angeles.
Yep,
I'm sorry.
Fair.
Anyways.
The scene in the dentist's office. I'm back on being angry again.
I love this scene. Go ahead.
This dentist's office. I want you, everyone watching and listening to this, I want you to put an expletive between this and dentist. This dentist's office.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Thing one that infuriates me. They send Joe Pesci's character because they have to give him something to do. They send him in
That's why they sent him.
Right. They send him in as like a mole, right? To distract. Not really as a mole because he's not trying to find information, but he's trying to distract the dentist so that they can go in and talk to this crime boss, Uncle Benny. So he poses as a patient who is screaming, I need help, I need this, I need that, I need to see the dentist immediately, blah, blah, blah. So the dentist is called out of his appointment with Uncle Benny, leaving that room free. Right? Okay. The next time you see Joe Pesci's character, the dentist is just drilling, right? Unless Joe Pesci, by coincidence, actually had some tooth decay, what is the dentist doing?
Right.
What is
just the drilling doing? A tooth willy-nilly?
Just
and if
going
so,
just going
why is Joe Pesci fine in the next scene?
Okay. So then we cut we've already been there, but in this podcast. Now
so
let's
sad.
Look at the other room where Uncle Benny is being interrogated by Riggs and Murtaugh. And Chris Rock. Chris Rock is there too. Even so, the room isn't soundproofed. What's going on in this room is four dudes are getting high on nitrous and giggling.
It's pretty funny.
Like, it's funny, but it's not real. That's not how nitrous works. And even if it does, it doesn't look real. Right? Like, I am totally normal.
That's how nitrous works.
I am totally normal. Inhale.
it's like a cartoon. It's like a cartoon.
Yes.
The whole scene is like, you're right.
Here's another question. Why are the cops giving it to themselves during an interrogation?
Well, they didn't mean to. It was an accident. It was on and that filled up the room and they started to get high. And once they started to get high, then they started to do it together because they thought it was funny because they were already laughing.
I hear you. I still don't buy it. I just don't buy it. I don't buy it.
I love how angry you are. That scene made me giggle, but I appreciate deeply how angry you are.
I will pause a moment to say something that I enjoyed about the movie.
Please.
Thank God for Rene Russo.
Oh, right?
The scene at the train tracks where they're talking about getting married or not is the only scene of honest emotion in the entire movie.
Rene Russo is so good in this movie.
Yes. Yes.
I love Rene Russo. I'm going out and saying it. I love Rene Russo.
Do. She's wonderful. She is wonderful, and she's wonderful in this. Can we agree?
Yep.
Danny Glover. Glover, Mel Gibson, at the ages they were when shooting Lethal Weapon 4, there's no way they take down Jet Li, right? There's just no chance. There's not a chance.
Zero chance.
You know what was the most...
Now, wait a minute.
Tell me. Let's talk.
Sergeant Riggs from Lethal Weapon number 1 could probably have fought Jet Li to the point that if Murtaugh was helping, they could have taken him down.
Yes, that's fair.
But no way.
That was a decade earlier.
And the yes. way they ended it with okay. the
yes
telepathic
yes the it was right. That was the worst gay joke in the movie. So here's the deal. Here was the most realistic part of that final fight. There is a moment where Jet Li gets impaled with a section of rebar, and he is yeah. still kicking the pants off of both of them for a while. I yep. believed that. I believed that.
Right, okay. Then, I wouldn't, but go on.
And then, because I'm saying I think he's that much better than both of them. Like, he would still be beating them if you, like, chopped off a foot, right? So then he tumbles, like he tumbles with Mel Gibson into the water, and he dies, and there's a whole thing, and then Mel Gibson gets trapped under something, and then, as Phil alluded to a second ago, they, like, telepathically, Murtaugh telepathically hears him. He's like, "Where are you? Where are you, Riggs? Where are you, Riggs?" And then he just like, "I see you. I hear you." And he dives into the water and saves him. And it is like, what? Okay. Moving on. The scene at the gravesite of Riggs' first wife is very close to being a scene with honest emotion in it. It's very close. Why is there comic relief in that scene? It ruins it. It just...
I mean, it's just what you expect, because it's Leo Getz.
That's fair.
I mean, at this point, you were just done.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, that could have been a legitimately good joke in there, and it wouldn't have mattered.
That's true. On a scale of, like, 0 to 1 billion, it works like 3. Okay?
Wow.
And the reason it works that much is because Joe Pesci and Mel Gibson are acting their butts off in that scene. They actually are. They're doing a good job.
Yeah.
The scene is still terrible. This is the last bad thing that I want to say about the movie. And it comes at the end when I was already, as you pointed out rightly, I was just done. I was done. Okay.
And that's fair.
And it comes at the end of another movie filled with racist humor and homophobic humor and frankly, humor that's just not funny. And that makes me angry too. I'm really not one to get offended by depiction of Jews in movies. Okay? And even if I were, the rabbi at the end in the hospital is not a big enough part to offend me.
Right.
But they basically got Tevye. And I don't mean Topol, the actor who played Tevye. No.
I love that guy. Robert.
Yeah, yes.
I met that guy once. I met him at a symphony.
That's awesome. I like him too, as an actor. I like him too. But they made him a caricature. For what I'll do, what's going on? Really? I mean, really? Does he have to have, like, the stereotypical New York Jew accent in Los Angeles?
I'm gonna make it so much worse for you in a second.
And then, when he starts in Hebrew, he's like, "Baruch Atah, what am I doing? How do the Goyim do this?" That is the line. What am I doing? Oh, I'm such a silly Jew. I can't believe. Again, I'm not offended, but it's coming at the end of this, like, really? Do you have to go there with another minority group?
Right.
Really?
Right.
And this is what it reminded me of.
I have bad news for you too, by the way.
Tell me.
Well, he's Italian.
I don't care.
I mean, I care a little bit.
No, I don't care about that.
I would prefer if you're going to make fun of Jews, you'd be Jewish.
Sure. Whatever. I mean,
okay.
Again, to make this clear, my problem is not that he doesn't do it well.
Okay.
Right? This reminded me of something that you say a lot, actually. And I think it comes from Mamet. I think it's something Mamet says.
If that sounds like something I would do.
Yeah, how actors spend way too much time looking for, like, an interesting choice rather than an honest one.
Right.
I.e., you don't need to be the waiter with a limp.
Right, just wait tables, please.
Right. Just be the rabbi. Just be the rabbi. Plenty of rabbis sound like you and me, I promise.
Right.
I mean, and there are...
You know that at some point Richard Donner was like, "Could you be more Jewish?"
Yes. Yes, and there are funny moments in it when the rabbi is like, "Are you Jewish?" And Mel Gibson goes, "Not necessarily." That was funny. That was legitimately funny.
Right, right.
But it's not that the concept of the character is offensive. It's that it's distracting. And all of it, even the stuff that was offensive, was also distracting. And it's like, and I'm taking all politics out of this, all sociopolitical statements. Why would you make a movie and then distract from the movie you're making? I mean, I'll tell you why, because you made a terrible movie, Lethal Weapon 4. But right. like,
I don't. I that's part of the problem is I don't think they were. I mean, at this point, they just didn't know what they were doing anymore. I mean, it fell apart, and they didn't know what to do, and they were just putting a bunch of it was like a pastiche of ideas.
Yes. Now like let's bunch have of them do this.
It was like a bunch of different sketches.
Yes.
That they tried to paste together, and what saddens me is what Lethal Weapon series has been so good at is creating characters that we care about in situations that are that seem real even when the movie is totally unrealistic and ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What this movie has done is all the scenes that are ridiculous feel ridiculous, and all the scenes that should be real seem ridiculous as well. And nothing feels real.
Yes.
It's just synthetic. It's like what happens when someone – it's like a knockoff of a Lethal Weapon movie.
Yeah.
Except it's got all the original people in it.
Right. Right. It's like a weird remake. And directed by the same guy. I meant for this to be a compliment. And I do mean it as a compliment, but I feel like it will end up being damning with faint praise. And then I swear I'm done. I'm just done. Okay. We could keep talking about it, but I am done.
Okay.
You know what the most enjoyable movie part of the movie was for me?
Don't say the credits.
The credits. The closing credits. And not because, oh, thank God, the movie's over.
But you mean with all the...
Yeah, they do fun, like it turns into like a scrapbook, and they show pictures, and it's pictures of the characters in character, but it's also pictures of the production.
Right.
And that is, frankly, adorable. It's adorable, you know?
But that's my problem, is this movie treated itself like a reunion special.
Agreed.
And that's the problem, is that scrapbook would have been great. I don't even know. No, because it just makes it feel like it's like, ah, you're in on the joke. And it's like, but the joke sucked. So I don't want to be on that joke.
Right.
You know?
Could you include me in a joke that's actually funny next time? Would that be possible?
That'd be like if I told you the secret of pulling the quarter from your ear. See, the quarter was always in my hand. Yeah, I know. I saw it.
Right. I get right.
No, but I'm teaching you no, I mean, you taught it to me by making it. It's a bad magic trick. You're not good at magic.
Right.
So that's what it felt like. They're like, isn't it great how much we love each other? Not really. You made a terrible movie.
Right.
That's how I felt. No.
If your love produces a movie this bad, maybe you should date
him. Maybe you should break up.
Maybe you should see other people.
Maybe you should just be friends.
Oh, God. I feel lighter. I do.
Good.
I'm sorry. I don't like being that negative, but this movie just...
Is it safe to say this is your least favorite movie on Project Mailway in a long, long, long time?
Certainly in a long, long time.
I mean, there are worse movies in the Mailway pantheon, but I think what this movie does for you is it takes a crap all over some of your favorite characters.
That is precisely it. You are
like,
you
if this was just a movie by itself with different characters, but Mel Gibson was in it, you might not be anywhere. You'd just be like, eh.
Right. Sorry, I saw it. Kinda glad I never have to see it again. Whatever.
Right.
Yes. Yes, I think that's absolutely right.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm better now, I'm not gonna lie.
I love that. I honestly have nothing to add. I mean, what would I do? I'm trying to think of what I could possibly say.
I appreciate you.
It's not a bad movie. I'm just kidding. It's terrible.
I mean, that's just wrong on the face of it, and you know it.
There are cool little things that happen.
Yes.
I want to point out that the first time you saw it, you actually recommended it to me.
Yes.
So.
And I still enjoy Jet Li's performance. He is suitably terrifying.
He is a very scary bad guy.
Yes.
That did not deserve to die the way he died.
No. No. No.
He should have beaten he was the only authentic person besides Rene Russo. He should have killed everybody except for Rene. He was so bad, he kicked pregnant Rene Russo in the face.
That's right.
But he was so bad, he was so cool about it that he didn't even see his body move when he did it.
Right. Right.
He was just like, "Foomp, what?"
He's functionally like Gene Wilder from Blazing Saddles, who can shoot people without seeming to move because he's that fast. He's like that, except with martial arts instead of gunplay.
It's amazing.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes, I appreciate you reining me in on the things that I was overzealous about.
That's all right. I don't mean, look at the movie's terrible and deserves your ire.
And you know what? I think it's clear it has it. I think it's clear that it has it.
So do we have anything to tell people about next week?
So the next 3 weeks, the next three movies we're doing next week is Payback.
Yep.
The week after that is Million Dollar Hotel.
Okay.
The week after that is Chicken Run. I'm excited for this.
This is a good stretch.
Yes, yes. Agreed.
I did not like Payback when I saw it in the theaters.
Nor I. I have watched it for next week. I enjoyed it significantly more. I've never seen and barely heard of Million Dollar Hotel. Excited for that. And I loved Chicken Run when I saw it, so I'm excited to see it again. Payback. I don't wanna give too much away.
Okay.
We have something really exciting. I think everybody's really going to dig it next week.
I would even call it especial.
Indeed. So that's what we got going on. Payback.
I mean, it can't be worse than what just happened to us. It really can't.
Nothing. A punch in the groin.
This might be the nadir. I mean, I haven't seen Million Dollar Hotel, so I don't want to make any claims.
Right.
But this might be the
greatest reviews.
But this might be the nadir of later Mel Gibson. Like, this might be career-wise. I mean, movie-wise. Obviously, he's had worse points in his life.
Indeed.
But I mean, Payback, Million Dollar Run, Chicken Run, or Million Dollar Hotel, Chicken Run, Patriot, What Women Want. I mean, We Were Soldiers, Signs. I mean, I think we're in good shape for a while.
Yeah.
Even movies that aren't great are still watchable.
Indeed. All I'll say is, if this isn't, I sure hope this is the nadir. I just hope it is, because I don't know that I could handle something that I could handle a worse movie, because, as you say, we have watched worse movies. Technically, I could not handle a movie that made me more angry than this one. I don't think that'll happen.
I don't think, considering that you are not like a person who watches movies like with a guardian, like with a mallet, like to guard all Jews. I don't think that you will like hate Passion of the Christ. Although I have a problem with the idea that this is a whole other conversation, but I'm interested in the arguments about Passion of the Christ being anti-Semitic. Okay. I'll be interested to see your take on it.
Okay. I did see it. I saw it in the theaters.
Okay, but when we talk about it. No, like, we'll talk about it as after we've both seen it afresh.
Yes.
But I mean, I since that's probably not going to infuriate you, I don't think you'll get this furious again.
It's not good for my health. So again, I hope not.
Something special next week comes.
Mm-hmm. We'll see you for that next week at Payback. But for now, this has been another Project Melway installment of Second Breakfast. I'm Andy Roth, and that's Phil Duvall. We'll see you again real soon. Bye-bye.
Ciao.
The most important meal of the day, Second Breakfast.